Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Help of the helpless. Please take your verse sheets. Help of the helpless. How many times do we read in the Psalms, David, other psalmists crying out to God in a time of great heartache and pain, the burdens that are carried. And surely there are praises, but many times the reality of life hurts. And the psalmist will cry out. Let us read our text tonight, Psalm chapter 13. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Let me quote the commentary by way of introduction. The psalm cannot be referred to any special event or period in David's history. All attempts to find a birthplace are but guesses. It was doubtless more than once the language of that much tried man of God, and is intended to express the feelings of the people of God in those ever-returning trials which beset them. If the reader has never yet found occasion to use the language of this brief ode, he will do so ere long if he be a man after the Lord's own heart. We have been wont to call this the How Long Psalm. We had almost said the howling psalm from the incessant repetition of the cry, How long? And I'm sure probably most, if not everyone in this room, can think of a burden or burdens, and it seems, how long? Aren't you glad God deals with reality in the scriptures? Life hurts. The Christian life hurts. And we do carry burdens. And are there not times we're all prone to cry, how long? How long? One way to divide this psalm is verses 1 and 2 could be anxiety. Verses 3 and 4, the cry of prayer. And 5 and 6, the song of faith. Another way would be verse 1, an introduction. 1 and 2, the perplexed soul. 3 and 4, the pleading soul. And 5 and 6, the praising soul. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. How many of you want to take your life's trials and tribulations, put them down as lyrics to music, and we're all going to sing it? And yet that's in essence what happened here. David is sharing, moved by the Holy Spirit to write these incredible words that others can benefit from it when they're crying out, oh God, how long? Sometimes our life's trials and tribulations can truly help us to help others. When you've gone through something, you are more prone to be compassionate. There are times we can honestly only say to another person, I've never been there, but I'm sure it hurts. And there are other people that can say, I have had similar situations. They better understand. And yet no one really understands the sorrow and the pain that another carries. We all have different backgrounds and circumstances. But when you've suffered, you can be better equipped to help somebody else. What was David's burden? It doesn't say. It doesn't say. So therefore, we must not be guilty of pinning something that's not there. We don't know exactly. We can take some guesses as we do look back in the life of David. Much suffering he went through. Could it have been at the hand of Saul? Take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 1. Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. You know, it's easy to read that short verse. Can you imagine? The king says to his people, we're going to kill and put your name there. I cannot comprehend that. I've had people say some things, but I've never had anybody say, we're all going to conspire to kill you. When David cries out, this man is speaking from incredible pain. I don't know that it was from King Saul, the specifics here. And the interesting thing, when David suffered under King Saul, he wouldn't touch him because he was God's anointed, leaving him in a real quandary. It's one thing that you have a problem. It's quite another when you are unable to do anything. And you know what that does? That puts you where God wants you, dependent upon him, because then God gets all the glory. Now, we don't like being in that position, but quite often that's what God does to us. David could be referring here to Absalom, his son, when he led a rebellion. Consider 2 Samuel 15, verse 14. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. We don't know exactly what David is referring to, but we know this. That man has suffered, really suffered. Therefore, he was moved of the Holy Spirit to write from those incredible burdens, whatever he's referring to. Acts chapter 13 tells us that David is a man after God's own heart, the only person in Scripture referred to as that way. And if we have a man after God's own heart, and he is crying out, as he did in Psalm 13, can we not also cry out, oh God, oh God, the pain is too much for me to bear. And so he writes these words to be sung to the chief musician. Meditate on them. Thousands of years ago, David felt God forgot him. And here we are today. Have you ever felt that God forgot you? And your prayers are bouncing off that ceiling? And you feel day by day you put one foot in front of the other wondering, God, what are you doing? How long? How long? I am glad that Scripture tells the truth. If God did not record such pain as David is setting forth here, how could we get out of bed in the morning? There must be something terribly wrong with me. And God says, no, others have suffered, and here's how to handle it. And life does surely have its pains and its burdens. We're not supposed to despair. Did you know that? We're supposed to trust God, but God deals with reality. We do carry burdens. Consider some of the burdens. How about unreasonable bosses? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, obnoxious, arrogant, unreasonable, fingernails down the blackboard. He says, submit. And how many times do servants suffer under this? Today we would say employees. How about women? Do you think women suffer in lousy marriages? 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, ye wives. Likewise takes us back to what was said before. In the same fashion that Peter just took to the servant, he's now talking to the wife. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. Not only to the good and gentle, but to the froward, that if any husband obeys not the word, the scripture, the man is not obeying the Bible. Do you think that wife is suffering? You bet she is. That if any obey not the word, that they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation, the behavior of the wife. The wife becomes a living Bible. Oh God, hear my cry. Do we have cares in general? 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. I am glad that God talks about this, because none of us could bear the burden if all God reported was perfect Christians in the scriptures and nobody ever had a care. We will have hardships, but what do you do with it? Let me quote the commentary. When I deal with a despairing Christian, I know that I am dealing with a person who has spent some time in recent days reflecting, referring to reflecting on life. He has allowed himself to think too much about the way his life has not turned out the way he expected. He is thinking about how pointless things are. He has reflection minus illumination. He's not getting the truths of the scriptures. By the phrase minus illumination, I mean that he has not been seeing the invisible. There has been little or no illuminated truth penetrating his soul. God is not the biggest concern in his life. He has been existing with little or no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Reflection on life without illumination in the Scriptures leads us to despair. And what is left? Folks, if you look at this world, what's left? Despair. It just seems the news, it doesn't just seem it, the news is getting more and more depressing. Everything from local crime to international problems. Despair. If we don't have the Word of God. This is really where David is. How long? Lord God, will you forget me? The greatest enemy of man is not disease, it's despair. When we have no hope, but there is hope. Hence the overwhelming truth, we've got to control our thinking. Why did God call the rapture the blessed hope? Things are going to get worse and worse and worse. Praise God, we're out of here. Verses 1 and 2, the perplexed soul. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will thy hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? David is in despair. Is there no end to this? Is there no end? In the early morning of July 4th, 1952, the California coast was blanketed with fog. Florence Chadwick entered the cold waters of the Pacific on Catalina Island, determined to be the first woman to swim the distance from Catalina to the California coast. Florence swam the English Channel in 1950 and 1951, but this record was one she had desired since she was 10 years old. As she swam, the numbing cold temperature and sharks became her adversaries. Several times during the course of the swim, the people traveling in the boat alongside her had to take rifles and fire them into the water to scare away the sharks that were swimming with her. But her greatest foe was the dense fog that enveloped her. She could barely see beyond a few feet as she swam. 15 hours into her swim, she asked to be taken out of the water. Her mom was in the boat right alongside her and said, "Florence, you are almost there. Don't give up now. You're almost there." Encouraged by her mother's words, she pressed on. 15 hours and 50 minutes into her quest, Florence was pulled from the water into the boat. After they treated her for mild hypothermia, they informed her that when she stopped, she was less than 1 mile from shore. Afterwards, she told the reporters interviewing her, "If I had known how close I was, I wouldn't have quit," she said. "If only I could have seen the shore. But when I looked up, all I could see was fog, and it didn't look like I had made any progress at all. It looked the same way it looked when I first began. If I could have only seen the shore, I could have made it." On September 21, 1952, just 2 months after her failed attempt, Florence Chadwick became the first woman to swim from Catalina to the California coast. The fog was just as thick as the day she failed in July, but this time she overcame despair by keeping a sharp picture of the coast in her mind. How many times do we feel there's no end to this? And we get into despair. And whatever problem David was facing, it got the best of him. And he was in despair. How long? Is there no end? He asks 4 questions. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? 2nd question, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Not only does he feel forgotten, he feels absolutely abandoned. Hide, to be absent, to conceal, a conscious effort. 3rd, he asks this question. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? He has to talk to himself. God, are you hearing my cry? Or are these empty prayers? He feels God does not understand his sorrow. Daily, daily this consumes me. How long, Lord? Every day it's the same thing. Where are you? Have you forgotten forever? He feels his prayers aren't answered. He has sorrow in his heart, and it's consuming his thought process every day. Can you not imagine in his thinking, and have you not experienced also sometimes, how did this ever happen? Am I wrong? Am I right? Am I nuts? What am I supposed to do? How long? Then David asks his 4th question, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Lord God, I serve you, and it seems nothing's happening, and the enemy who is wrong, and I don't see anything in this scripture that tells me that what he is facing isn't a very real problem. It is a real problem. Why is that person who is in error triumphing over me? Why do you let this go, Lord? Why is my enemy having this victory? Am I serving you in vain? These four questions clearly set forth frustration. Each question is implying that God has failed David. And do not our trials wear on us and try our very trust in God? That's exactly what's happening here. Day by day, O Lord. But the very thing that God wants us to do is to grow in trust and dependence on Him. And He will let trials come our way to develop our faith in Him. How long? David cried out. Consider, as we've already referred to a little bit here in 1 Peter, 1 Peter definitely talks about the very real trials, tribulations, and heartaches of this daily living in life. But consider early on in 1 Peter, he says in chapter 1, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith. How long? And then, of course, as we saw, he goes on to talk about submitting to froward masters, husbands that are disobedient to the word, casting all your care upon him. And yet, it seems that he doesn't hear sometimes. James has a similar passage in James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, born again people, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith. Same thing Peter said in essence. Faith in what? Your very faith in God. And who is the only one that can try your faith in God? God. When he seems to pull back, how long? And God is literally trying your faith and my faith. He pulls back and it seems that our prayers are going nowhere. It seems that it's just daily a grind and a discouragement. And when we don't have our eyes on the Lord, it's despair. There's no hope. And David cried out, how long? The real issue here in the four questions, how long? We get discouraged because of the constant frustration. Oh, Lord. Again, let me quote, how long? There are many situations of the believer in this life in which the words of this psalm may be a consolation to help to revive sinking faith. A certain man lay at the pool of Bethesda who had an infirmity 38 years. You have the verse there, John 5:5. A woman had a spirit of infirmity 18 years before she was loosed, Luke 13:11. Let everyone then who may be tempted to use the complaints of this psalm, assure his heart that God does not forget his people. Help will come at last, and in the meantime, all things shall work together for good to them that love him. And so it is, in the opening verses here, we have David's cry, pleading from desperation, anxiety, despair. In verse 3, he pleads with God. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Now what David is doing here is something else that we're prone to do. He's going to list three reasons why God ought to encourage him. Lord, if you would listen to me, and I have got very sound reasoning now, Lord, pay attention. First thing I want you to do, Lord, consider and hear me. I don't think you're versed on this subject. If you understood the situation, you would have done something, and I wouldn't be here. Anybody been there, done that? I see the smiles. God, consider. I want you to stop what you're doing and listen, because you're not getting it. If you would hear and understand, you would do something. But God surely has heard David's cries. He just hasn't answered the way David wants him to answer. God is working. We have seen this other times in studies. For example, Israel was in bondage to the Philistines, and God hears their cry. What does he do? God sends Samson as a baby I don't want a baby that has to grow up before he can deliver me. Why don't you send a full-grown man and get me out of this now? But how many times does God work? And it just takes time. Quote, note the cry of faith, O Lord my God. It is not a very glorious fact that our interest in our God is not destroyed by all our trials and sorrows. It is amazing we weather some of these storms. We may lose our gourds, but not our God. The title deed of heaven is not written in the sand, but in brass. God's word is sure. David offers a second reason why God should encourage him. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I'm gonna die if you don't do something. And I have found this is a very effective way to get God's attention. Let him know that this is it. And you're going to see God just snaps right to it. Lighten my eyes. I need some hope. Is there light at the end of the tunnel? God, I am going to die if you don't do something. Lighten mine eyes. That is, let the eye of my faith be clear that I may see my God in the dark. Let my eye of watchfulness be wide open lest I be entrapped. And let the eye of my understanding be illuminated to see the right way. Perhaps, too, here is an allusion to that cheering of the Spirit so frequently called the enlightening of our eyes, because it causes the face to brighten, the eyes to sparkle. Well may we use the prayer, lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, for in many ways we need the Holy Spirit's illuminating rays. Oh, God, help me to see brightness, because I can't take it, and I'm going to die if you don't do it soon. It's doubtful that David's assessment of the situation moved God, but he gave his opinion anyway. And I'm sure most of us give God our opinion every day. He thanks us and moves on. The third reason why God should encourage David, lest my enemy and those that trouble me. Do you understand? Evil people are going to just rejoice when I can't bear this anymore. And God, it's going to be your fault, because I am past the point. I can't take this. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. I am going to be moved, Lord. I've held my spiritual ground long enough, but there comes a time, Lord. I mean, don't you know a person can only take so much? And God, apparently you don't understand where that line is. And God is up there wringing his hands saying, you're right, David. No, he isn't. God, if you don't do something soon, I am going to be moved. I'm going to fall. And then David, in verses 5 and 6, gets back into reality. He sounded off. God, how long? Then he gives three reasons why God ought to do something. And he says, okay, Lord, my temper tantrum's over. Verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Do you find yourself in despair? Get on your knees and confess it to God. He knows it anyway. You may as well tell him the truth. And then get back into proper thinking. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I don't understand you, but I trust you. The questions that he opens with, the four questions, are all invalid. God did not forget him. God is not hiding. And on and on. And how long? Well, we don't know how long, but we know this. Those questions are invalid. God has not forgotten David, nor has he abandoned him. It seems like it sometimes, doesn't it? And it seems there is no end. His advice to God for action is unnecessary. God doesn't need our reasoning why he ought to do something. He's already heard. He's considered. And he knows your situation, my situation, and David's situation. Please take a look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon. Israel, Judah, is in bondage in a foreign land. They've lost their freedoms. They have a foreign government controlling them. They're in exile. And God says, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you. Now, we could really go off on the whole thing. Someday we will. The sovereignty of God. He's going to move against Babylon, causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. Peace! Peace! In bondage in Babylon? Yes, peace. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil. Underline it, to give you an expected end. It's going to do something in your life. Christian, there are going to be times you're going to be like that swimmer in the fog, and you don't understand where you're going. And it may seem like you're not making any progress. And God says, but I know what the end is. And it's not just any end, it's expected. I have hand-tailored this problem that to you seems there is absolutely no hope, and it seems absolutely endless, but there is an end, and not only an end, an expected end. I'm doing it for your good. I know what I'm doing, God says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Please don't quote that verse to me in time of trouble, right? No, that verse is precious. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. As David trusted in his mercy, consider. The Assyrians, Babylonians, Phoenicians, Egyptians, Persians, Greeks, and Romans had their many gods. Gods of war, gods of industry, gods of agriculture, gods of cities, gods of towns, and various others. But in all of paganism's galaxy of gods, there never was one called the God of hope. This is scarcely surprising, for in that ancient world, hope had become a despised delusion long before our Lord was born in Bethlehem. In fact, there is no hope for this sin-cursed world apart from the true God. Take a look at Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope, one of the attributes of our God, is he gives us great hope. The essence of this psalm, I want you to think about the big picture. In verses 1 and 2, we see despair. How long? And in verses 5 and 6, praise. I've trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice. David remembered in the midst of all his hardships that God has been there and blessed him greatly. Psalm 103:13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. David got control of his thinking, and he started to praise God. He knew and remembered the goodness of God. Summarized from the Bible commentary, Psalm 13, from doubt to trust, expressed in this brief psalm are the deepest longings of a troubled soul. Although a personal enemy is behind the scenes, the psalmist is wrestling with his own doubts as to God's divine activity on his behalf. Since sickness is not alluded to, the problem is probably mental, very likely fear. In its structure, this psalm is an excellent example of the lament of an individual being carefully divided into three brief stanzas of two verses each. Verses 1 and 2, his problem of doubt, how long? The fourfold repetition of this phrase clearly shows the writer's intense suffering. He is wearied by his enemy, but even more distressed by God's seeming unconcern. He feels God forsaken in the time of his greatest need. In verses 3 and 4, his prayer for assistance, consider here, enlighten my eyes. In the midst of doubt and dejection, he prays for God to understand his problem and bring back the brightness in his eyes. Not only does he fear physical death, but he knows how his enemies, in their godlessness, will boast concerning the downfall of a friend of God. And in verses 5 and 6, his relief and trust. But I have trusted. Although no spoken answer is recorded, a real relief comes over this troubled soul. His trust is based upon God's loving kindness, his rejection upon God's salvation, his singing upon God's bountiful care. He has found true peace by utter trust in God. The psalm starts with nothing but despair, and it concludes with praise. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, abide with me. There are going to be times in this life, how long is there no end to this? Remember, help of the helpless will abide with us. trust in Him in your daily living.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.